Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. In Good Will Hunting, a brilliant young man who has been abused by a wrathful stepfather lives in poverty in a tough area of Boston. He is discovered by Ivy League professors as a math genius, but he is violent and sarcastic and afraid of any meaningful relationships. In the film, he meets an equally tough psychotherapist from the same part of Boston originally named Sean, played by Robin Williams. It's a difficult relationship as no one can get through to Will. No one can, not Sean, not even the girl he loves. But one day something happens in a counseling session, and the truth and the extent of Will's pain comes out. He has been hiding for most of his adult life from himself and others by using an elaborate set of defense mechanisms. And when Sean unmasks and dismantles these, Will breaks down and begins to cry. He finds his pain, which is not easy to do. It's not easy to find one's pain. But in finding his pain, he also finds himself again. Many of us are looking for something in life because we want to feel complete. We want to feel like our best selves. Yet we may not know exactly what we're looking for or how to find it. This week I was thinking about the book of Genesis, and it seems like in Genesis, God has an amazing plan for human beings to be whole. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps on the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." So, human beings are made in the image of God. Did you catch that at the end? Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." I find that to be an amazing thing. The scriptures also talk about, sadly, a loss that happens thereafter. Human beings turn away from that image and likeness of God that resides in them. Adam and Eve decide to live differently, without reference to this beautiful part of their nature and what it means to be human. It would be like me being a Melton and then forgetting and purposely turning away from everything that my wonderful parents taught me. Well, something of that image of God was lost way back then, and we continue to lose it day by day by some of the actions we take and some of the things that we do and some of the things that we forget to do. Or maybe there is sort of a general amnesia about who we really are or were made to be. We see various expressions of this, vacating the image of God, in our world and society when we look around. One of the most famous TV shows ever on television is a show called Mad Men, which explores the lives of fictional characters in the field of advertising in the 60s and early 70s. The media has made a big deal out of the authentic wardrobes on the show, on the artistic sets, and the show's writing, which is very clever. What could be missed is that it is a show about people who are supposed to have it all, but are completely lost in their lives, and they fear that their lives ultimately have no meaning. The opening credits feature a cartoon of a silhouette of a man in free fall, not knowing where he is going or why. And at one point, the main character who is depicted in this free fall, his name is Don Draper, says in a soliloquy, "Well, I hate to break it to you, but there is no big lie. There is no system. The universe is indifferent." Perhaps the show resonates because of the things that these characters say and do and that reflect their sense of emptiness and lostness. Actually, maybe the reason people tune in is because that reflects how the viewers feel, but wouldn't dare to admit. Mark Iaconelli is a pastor who specializes in youth ministry. And in his book, Contemplative Youth Ministry, he talks about how teens make parents anxious. adolescents begin to think for themselves, and our culture promotes certain behaviors at a young age these days. And parents know that they can't completely control adolescents or isolate them from social media. Kids begin to drive, and we know how the story unfolds. Parents get anxious about all these things. But then Mark shares the other side of the story, which I hadn't thought of. How do kids feel when they look at adults? He says, adolescents are nervous when they look at adults. They see stress. They see tension. They see overwork, anger, frustration. They see dysfunctional and addictive behaviors, and they don't want to become us. It's as if they're asking, what happened to you? Have you always been this way? And if not, what changed? If they were young theologians, they might be asking, what happened to the image of God inside you? Where is it? It might seem unjust that the human race would suffer because of Adam and Eve, and yet the fact is that Adam and Eve's choices are really only an archetype, a pattern that we tend to fall into. And there is a remedy, and that remedy is the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It would take a whole sermon series of its own to explain all that. But the idea in the book of Romans is that Jesus is the new Adam, the remade Adam. He uniquely lives, rather, out of his own life and through his own life, a vocation, what it means to be in communion with God, fully in communion with God. Now, Adam had that vocation, a mission, a commission, a job, if you will, but he didn't fulfill it. So Jesus is the new Adam who comes to refill it and indwell that vocation in the fullest way. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person, Adam, did it wrong and got us all into this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong. One man said yes to God and put many people in the right. You see, through Christ, we come into touch with the one who models powerful living, not just because he is divine, but because he is so deeply human. Jesus is more deeply human than I am. The image of God shines uniquely in him and through him. So a relationship with God through Christ opens up this potential, this reality, this eternity. All of a sudden, life is calibrated, recalibrated to be different in a wonderful, wonderful way. We have the opportunity to experience eternity. We have the opportunity to experience the now. Jesus is the archetype who steers us home. And that reminds me of this story. In 2005, a retired merchant seaman by the name of Waldemar Semenov donated a compass to the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. The ordinary and small compass doesn't look impressive, but this device has a story behind it. During World War II, Semenov was serving as a junior engineer on the American merchant ship SS Alcoa Guide. On April 16, 1942, the ship was sailing from New Jersey to the Caribbean when a German submarine surfaced and opened fire with its deck cannons. Semenov recalls, "We didn't have any guns. There were no escorts. They were just using us as target practice." The SS Alcoa Guide caught fire and started to sink 300 miles off the coast of North Carolina. Semenov snatched three loaves of bread, said, "I knew we might be in the water for a while," as he and the rest of the crew scrambled to two lower lifeboats and a raft into the water. Fortunately, the lifeboats were equipped with a compass. Semenov and his fellow crew members used the compass to sail west by northwest toward the shipping lanes. After 3 days, a patrol plane searching for the sailors from any of the three ships that had been sunk that week spotted Semenov's lifeboat. The next day, the USS Broome rescued the men on the lifeboats. In contrast, it took 3 weeks to find the raft, which was drifting aimlessly with only one survivor. In all, thanks to that little, unremarkable compass, Semenov and 26 other crew members from the SS Alcoa survived. His life circumstances changed drastically. He could have lost his course, yet because he had a compass, he survived. The image of God within us is like a compass. It shows us the way back home. And when you think about it, recovering that identity, the identity as a child of God made in God's image, is also evangelism. It's sharing good news. It is one of the best ways to become a living example of what it means to know God. There is a saying from one of the Orthodox saints, of the Eastern Orthodox saints. Find inner peace, and thousands around you will find their salvation. Find inner peace, and thousands around you will find their salvation. Well, these days, what's distracting you from living out of your legacy as a child of God, your inheritance? What obstacles are there standing in the way of the flow of God's peace in your life? And what would it mean for you to look in the mirror and see the radiance of the image of God beaming back at you? Let's pray. Dear God, in times of stress, we can become so easily distracted from your quieting, calming presence. More time at home has not necessarily meant more peace. Dismantle our defense mechanisms, drop our spiritual shields so that we can know you in an unobstructed way. Let the glory of God shine through God's children.